You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome to Axe to Grind. And you know what this is? This is, I branded it today in my head. This is Axe to Grind Overtime. Ooh. It's pretty cool. I'm Bob.
I'm Andy.
Andy, thank you for sitting in today and joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This is a rare afternoon recording, weekday afternoon recording. So Tom's not here. We're going to get a bunch of Tom stuff. Patrick's still abroad. Holiday in Cambodia. Truly.
So, nice.
And we wanted to, again, we're continuing to do the additional content to try to give people something.
Okay. So before we get into anything, big shout out to our sponsors, To Live a Lie Records, Closed Casket Activities, Run for Cover Records, and Death Wish Inc. Please go to their respective websites and to the promo code.
Axe to Grind.
And you're going to want to
spell it out.
Cool. Kind of a thing to say, support these labels, support the bands. I know things are weird right now, but do that, buy yourself something, you know, power through this weird time we've got going on right now.
Yeah, it's weird out there.
So really quick, we're going to spend like 2 minutes on this.
Okay.
You work in the larger food and grocery industry.
Yeah, I work for a snack food company where the majority of the workforce spends our time out in the supermarkets, and it's just wild out there right now. You know, people flock into the stores and mass numbers and stuff. So be safe out there. Keep your distance. I know everybody's got to get their food and get their, you know, get your supplies and stuff like that. But you know, keep in mind the
other people in the store.
Other people in the store, and you know, the big thing with this whole thing going on is you're not supposed to flock in numbers. So just keep your distance. You know, maybe give everyone a little buffer and be patient and be cool.
Yeah. So you have been giving reports to our chat about what the early morning supermarket. Today you were at a supermarket.
Yeah.
Right as it was
opening. It opened. Yeah.
And you saw what?
Okay. So they opened the doors. People sprinted in the store, sprinted to the paper goods aisle, you know, like your toilet paper, tissues, paper towels.
Yeah.
Only to find at store opening a completely empty aisle. Like, I almost wish I had videoed it just to get a like a documentation
that people were sprinting to nothing.
And you know, it's just, you know, all the trucks and stuff that are, you know, being delivered to the stores, everybody's running behind. So, you know, it's wild. It's pretty wild. So yeah, just be good to one another and
be mindful, especially when you're out there. So if that's still an option by the time you hear this, because we're slowly but surely getting stuff locked down. So
yeah. Hopefully it doesn't get too crazy. Everyone stays safe.
We're not here to talk about people keeping their distance, you know, get back, but we're talking about stay close to me.
Oh, yeah.
We're here to talk about, we're going to do a Bad Brains, not a deep dive, but kind of a run through and like a rank them, maybe we'll call it, of the entire Bad Brains catalog. I'm pretty excited for this.
Yeah, me too. I mean, Bad Brains are a band that means a pretty great deal to me, as I'm sure you well know.
I do. So you're the reason, so I recorded one of these that I believe is on Patreon with Tom yesterday.
Okay.
Where we did a Killing Time deep dive.
Oh,
went
cool.
Through their entire discography. It was really fun. If you do not have our Patreon, please go subscribe. You'll enjoy it. There's a lot of content there. But one of the reasons it was great was that Killing Time is one of his favorite bands. I don't think I know anyone who likes the Bad Brains more than you. And I love the Bad Brains. Like they're my favorite hardcore band. But you know, I don't think I can think of anyone who loves them as much as you do.
Okay, I'll take that.
Do you know anyone who loves them as much as you do?
I don't know.
Or had such a relevance in your life?
Yeah, I'm sure those people are out there. I don't know. That's you know, and it's funny because, like, you know, in a just a total, like, looking back on things, like, I can talk to people and I've, you know, hear from people. It's just like, you know, this is all stuff that happened like 20, 25 years ago at this point. But, like, when I hear people say, oh, Andy turned me on to the Bad Brains.
Yeah,
you like did. People that I've now known for like 20 plus years that yeah. are like still in the hardcore and still in the punk and stuff. I'm like, oh, wow, I guess, I don't know, maybe at least in our little circle, I was pretty early on to that.
So talk about your personal experience with the Bad Brains.
So the Bad Brains were the very first hardcore punk band I ever got into. And I was like, it was like a year before I got into anything else. I'll give like a pretty quick history. I have an older stepbrother who's about 6 or 7 years older than me. He was a skater, punk, hardcore punk dude. In the grand scheme of things, he had a real short window, probably about 4 or 5 years
yep.
that he listened to all that. But, you know, me being like 12 and him being 17 or me being 11. And
it's a pretty big difference, yeah.
Yeah, he seemed like the coolest guy in the entire world. He had a half pipe in his backyard and he adored the Bad Brains and used to play them all the time. So flash forward to like 1993. You know, I was big into all like the popular alternative grunge, whatever you want to call it, that was coming out at the time. And I kind of sort of, I guess, started veering towards like some of the, was like what I liked about that music was it was a little different than the generation before's rock music, but then that started becoming the more mainstream stuff. And I just always had a I guess like a yearning to kind of find something that was a little deeper, and I remember saying, oh, Bob used to listen to a bunch of weird, cool, different music. So I just said, hey, what was that bad band, the Bad Brains, I remember you listened to all the time? He had posters on his wall and stuff, and he gave me actually Bad Brains Live, which is a really weird first Bad Brains record to get into, let alone first punk or hardcore record to get into, but... and then I just, you know, from there kind of expanded and, you know, started checking out a lot of the other parts of the catalog. I definitely got Rock for Light for Christmas, probably like 19. So
great Christmas present.
Great Christmas present. So the Bad Brains I got into in 1993, but I don't think the second hardcore or punk record I got until like a full year later.
Sure.
So I was still listening to like Nirvana and Soundgarden and Pearl Jam and Stone Temple Pilots while I was listening to the Bad Brains. And then I just eventually started saying, like, what else
is in this world, right?
What else is in this world? Yeah.
So with that, like when you think back to that time, and I mean, it's weird. It's a funny thing to think about because that's when you're discovering music, you're getting into different things.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember, did you feel like the Bad Brains were just another band in those bands or was it set apart? Like if you sonically, the Bad Brains, even as we're going to get into, even in their 90s material, they don't sound like Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, any of that kind of stuff.
They don't.
And but so when you're a kid getting into that and you're into the other stuff.
So when I'm a kid, I just thought this is weirder music. I don't even think I knew it was called hardcore or punk at the time.
Yeah,
I just knew it was another band that I listened to that was even further down the line than this other stuff that I was listening to at the time. And it's funny because now that I think about that Live being the first record that I got into, just regular Live, not Spirit Electricity.
Or Youth Are Getting Restless.
It's around the time it was recorded was post Eye Against Eye, pre Quickness. So it's kind of heavy on the Eye Against Eye material. And the Eye Against Eye material is when they started to slow it down a little bit and become a little bit more mid-tempo. So it was almost like a nice transition from what I was listening to. Because I think if I had heard like the blazing fast early hardcore records of theirs first, it would have sounded maybe too far down the line. But, and there was some, don't get me wrong, there's some of that stuff on that Live record, but like when you hear Sacred Love or when you hear She's Calling You, which are all on that Live record, it definitely felt closer to what I had, you know, had come from listening to
before. It's slightly more palatable, you know, tempo-wise.
Yep.
There's some more singier stuff and it's not racing.
They started adding, I guess, like kind of that, I guess, some jazz and funk influences that, you know, those guys as musicians were into and knew how to do.
So before we get into this, so what we're going to do, the activity and the challenge, the homework I gave Andy is to rank the Bad Brains records from worst to first. And we're going to go through that. But before we do that, we're going to talk about these live records because Andy's first punk hardcore record was Bad Brains Live. I tell people there's three live records in punk and hardcore that I ride for, that I'm like, I have a hard time discounting them from bands' discographies just because I think they're so vital. For me, it is Agnostic Front live at CBGB's.
That's a good one.
Black Flag, who's got the 10.5. I know you don't fuck with that, which is okay. Because that's like...
That was the first Black Flag record I ever heard. And I was like, what the fuck is
not
this?
Not the first. So what's funny is a friend of the podcast, Trey McCarthy, mm-hmm. Deathwish, it is the first Black Flag record he ever heard, and he loves it.
Whoa.
So flipped weird. It. So it's AF Live at CB's, Black Flag, Who's Got the 10.5, and Bad Brains, Youth Are Getting Restless. For me, Youth Are Getting Restless is this weird, perfect encapsulation of late 80s Bad Brains where you're getting the Eye Against the Eye. I think it's post Eye Against the Eye, pre-Quickness.
I think all their live records are actually in that.
Well, the ones that we're talking about, which is
live, in that window.
Yeah, Youth Are Getting Restless and Spirit yep. Electricity. I believe they were all released by SST. I wonder if there's some sort of weird contract thing there. But they put that material out there. And it's kind of a funny acknowledgement of how supreme the Bad Brains were as a live band. Like, I think this isn't to disparage Agnostic Front Live. I think Agnostic Front Live is awesome. As musicians, I have a feeling that the Bad Brains were more on point all of the time than, say, Black Flag.
They were on another level.
Correct. And even like Black Flag, probably like technicality, tightness, they were there because they're playing 300 shows a year kind of thing. So it was kind of cool to see that these records. So if you are interested or you aren't into live records, but you're curious about it, I can recommend all three of those, which is Live, Youth Are Getting Restless, and Spirit Electricity as cool live records to get into. You said it was your introduction.
It was, I think it's like my introduction. Youth Are Getting Restless is fantastic too.
Yeah.
I actually think your live record recommendations are really good. And like live hardcore, live records are like a staple of like rock music period. But for some reason, they don't translate, I feel, that well into like hardcore and punk. With some very few exceptions.
Yep.
The only other one that I maybe would add to yours is Descendants Liveage. Oh, but sure. I'm also a Descendants super fan.
No, I think that works. And I mean, what it we're kind of noting. So why don't live records work better in punk and hardcore? Well, a few factors. One, quite often bands are predicated more on energy mm-hmm. and going crazy on stage. And I like that.
It's great to see when you're there in yes. person. And maybe not energy great to listen to.
After the fact. Two, a lot of times, and this is now and then, the venues aren't, you know, the sound at the VFW, not great, not perfect for music. And three, the technology of it, which goes in tied into the venue. Who knows what they have set
That's
up
a great point.
What kind of, like, as somebody who's booked a lot of shows, to me, I have never once owned a PA. I've always borrowed one or had the place have one or whatever. And it's always been like, oh, yeah, you got a PA? Sure. Oh, is it good enough? Yup.
Like, is it good enough?
Does it turn on and work? We're good. So that all that said, like AF Live at CB's. CB's actually had a good board. Sometimes, yeah. So that worked. And
almost anything you hear that was recorded live at CB's is usually
pretty good. And there's always been rumors that maybe there was some post-production work done on live at CB's too.
Maybe.
The Bad Brains live records were all recorded at bigger venues with yep. good sound systems.
Yeah, at that point, they were definitely, got to a point where they were probably playing venues that had a little better sound.
Black Flag, Who's Got the 10.5, same deal. And certainly Descendants Liveage.
Definitely at that point, they were playing. Yeah.
So stamp it. Those are all cool live records to check out. Now, here's the question that we're going to reiterate as we go through and talk about each one of these Bad Brains records.
Yes.
Is this a good record to get into the Bad Brains from? So I will ask you that about Live, Youth Are Getting Restless, and Spirit Electricity. Spirit Electricity, asterisk, there's only 6 songs on it. So yes. It's a little shorter, but let's go. Live or Youth Are Getting Restless. Is that a good introduction point for the Bad Brains?
It's a I mean, that's a weird question, especially for me, because it was yours, my introduction point. It certainly wasn't a bad introduction point. I mean, it got me into the band. Hard to look at that objectively, but I think if you, and especially coming from where I was coming from, if you had played me eye against eye, I probably would have been just as excited.
But you were right. You this had a good mix mm-hmm. of some of the material, so it's good. Would you say for someone in 2020, this is a good introduction to the Bad Brains?
If you already know about hardcore and punk, and for some reason you haven't checked out the Bad Brains, it's definitely not a terrible place to start, because it is a good
sampler
mix of every sampler of everything that kind of was out at the time. They would go on to do a bunch more records, some of which highly, highly influential. But it's definitely a decent sampler of, you know, the pre-'89 material, yep. Basically. Their 80s and late 70s output.
Yeah. So, okay, let's get into the studio albums. Just as a note on this, we're kind of exempting some of the like weird singles. We're going to exempt the Pay to Come single, which is their first record, which is actually really cool. Much cooler when you put it in the scope that it came out in 1979. Like, that's fucked up.
Yeah, I mean,
it's great.
It's great, and it was, you can't really overstate, like, the importance of that record, like, unquestionably. I mean, some would consider it the first hardcore record ever. Yep. You know, yep,
some people might say middle class out of vogue, yeah, we'll go but with, it's right there.
But it's right there, and it definitely influenced, you know, legions of other bands. I would like to mention the I Love I Jah 12-inch awesome. And the I and I Survive 12-inch yep. singles, which...
Alternative Tentacles?
Both Alternative Tentacles. Really, really cool 12-inch EPs that if you're a record collector, go out there and pick those up, because they don't go for super expensive. And, something that's kind of... you don't really see... There's, like, images and stuff on the physical versions that never really kind of got out there other than... Like, the I and I Survive 12-inch, really, really cool awesome. Cover.
Can't believe it hasn't been used in other places.
Yeah.
It's some of their best visual stuff.
And the recordings, I believe, were reused on some of the LP stuff. Like, they're both 12-inch EPs. Like, but, yeah, both really neat. Like,
really cool kind of note. Yeah, and that's going to kind of a note that we'll talk about as we get to the early 80s stuff, because the connection to Alternative Tentacles, I think you can hear that sonically with some of the stuff, more so than a lot of bands, especially any other bands from the East Coast, which is a weird note, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. No.
Kick us off. So I said we're going to exempt most of the EP stuff. We're not going to talk about it, but we're going to start with the your list. So start with your least favorite Bad Brains record, we could call it.
Okay, so... Ooh, that would be Build a Nation.
Build a Nation's your bottom.
It's my bottom.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it.
All right.
Came out, what, 2007?
2007.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it was kind of framed to me by people who had heard it before me as kind of like a return to form type of record.
Uh-huh.
And sonically, you know, the music... I definitely hear some of the, you know, really, there's some fast shit.
There's some fast
there.
Parts. There's some like weird moshy parts.
Some cool moshy parts. Yeah. It's definitely not a bad record. Not by any stretch. What kills it for me is the vocals. And I hate to say that because HR is such an iconic vocalist.
Right.
But he was in a different place at the time. There's a lot of weird vocal effects on the vocals.
That's true.
And I think where it really loses me is, for me, when I listen to hardcore punk music that's fast, I want to hear lots of vocals over the fast parts.
Mm-hmm.
The vocals are very sparse if you listen to that record.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a cool, like, fast hardcore part, and like he just sings a few lyrics or lines over it, and I mean his voice, you know, doesn't sound anything like it did in the old days.
Yeah.
So there's a lot about the I often say, is sad as it is to say, that I think that record would have been better if they had a different singer.
Oof. All right, that is not my bottom record.
Okay,
I'll get to where my rankings are at some point as we go through. I think we both can acknowledge Bill Donation, don't listen to it very often.
Yeah.
If ever, you know what I mean?
Up until this homework assignment, I didn't listen to it since it came out.
Right. I've listened to it a couple of times, but I did a little bit of a dive for the homework. It's a couple tracks, a couple songs I like. This
goes
into my bucket, and I mentioned this on the Killing Time episode.
Mm-hmm.
You can go on Killing Time, The Method, and it's a fine record, actually. It's a B minus.
Yeah.
If somebody who's looking to write a new hardcore record wants to be smart, go listen to Build a Nation. There's some stuff you could straight up steal.
No one would ever know.
No one would ever know.
And it's good. It's good stuff.
It's actually, yeah. So I think the one song off this record, I would say, if you haven't listened and you want to check out a track, I think it's like the seventh track on the record. It's called Expand Your Soul. Starts off with this kind of like moshy beat. It's got some of the more fast parts. It's the best song on the record. I enjoyed it more than I remember. The only problem, and this is going to be a recurring theme at the bottom of this list, boy, this is a long record.
Yeah. I want to say it's close to 40 minutes.
I think it's 40 or 41 minutes. So all right, Build a Nation, that's at your bottom. Next. Okay. Next up.
My next up.
Moving up the power rankings. I'm going to get some like ESPN draft noises. Doom, 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 doom.
Moving up the power rankings would be Into the Future, which was their most recent effort. I think 2012.
Yeah, the last record, 2012, 2013.
I actually feel almost exactly the same about this record as I do Build a Nation. I just like it a little better. It sounds a little more concise. Less weird vocal effects on HR's vocals. Just overall, like, he sounds weird still, don't get me wrong.
let's put it, news at 11. HR still sounds weird on all Bad Brains material he's on, yes.
But it's like, like I said, the vocal effects kill me on Build a Nation.
Okay.
There's a little less of that on here. And, I don't know, like, and it's funny because there's, the music somehow always sounds like the Bad Brains. Like, you could clip a clip of a part of this record that I'm not familiar with, because this one I really haven't listened to that much, with no vocals. Just clip a clip and you could play it for me, and I would say
it's either
the Bad Brains or somebody who really figured out how to rip. So they always sound like the Bad Brains.
This record, now this is a recurring theme on all the late era records, I'd say, from even including Rise Gotta Love, Build a Nation, Into the Future. They go into their Bad Brains bag, which is to say they do things that I'd say sound like they said, oh, remember that part? Let's do that part. Like they don't
let's
have
do,
places.
Let's do the reignition part.
Yeah, let's go. And to me, this record falls short, even compared to Build a Nation, as far as they're going into their Bad Brains bag. This record doesn't catch me as much. The tempo, it's almost more mellow mid-tempo than anything else. It's not like there's no blazing fast parts on these records, either of the records we just talked about. But this one even more feels kind of muted.
Yeah.
And it's not a diss. Like, again, compared to most bands' records, this ain't bad. Compared to the Bad Brains, it's kind of shit.
We going up to the next one?
On to the next. Right. I don't even have a song to recommend off that record.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So here we go. Let's stop for a second. Would you recommend Build a Nation or Into the Future as an introduction to the Bad Brains?
No.
Okay.
I would not ever.
If you were introduced to the Bad Brains through either of those records, if you were, would you feel inclined to dive down the rabbit hole?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't know if I would.
I don't know if I would. I don't know if I would.
That's the part that gets me, is that I'm not sure either of these records would have inspired me to go, huh, interesting. Let me go backwards and check stuff out.
Yeah, because I think at the point, if you're a person who was getting into the Bad Brains and this was the first record you got into,
yeah,
I kind of wonder how that would have come to be. I'm sure those people exist.
Right. Like, yeah. Oh, everybody has a weird entry point.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I don't think anyone would have recommended, any like no person who knows the Bad Brains material would have recommended these records to you. But it could have just been you hear people talking about the Bad Brains, you went to the record store, this was the record that was available.
Correct.
I mean, that's definitely how it happened to me in a lot of instances with certain bands.
Okay, so next record on your power ranking, because these are not recommended entry points, and we don't even know what world you'd be on, and we don't think you would. We don't think you'd drop down the Bad Brains rabbit hole from going to Build a Nation or Into the Future.
Yeah, I can definitely agree. Next would be Rise.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So we got Israeli Joseph I.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
For people who do know or don't know, this is the Bad Brains LP that HR does not sing on.
And also his brother was not on either.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Earl Hudson and HR, Paul Hudson, are brothers. So they Rise has Israel Joseph.
And Mackie.
And Mackie from the Cro-Mags. Who, by the way, if you want to see Mackie look as cool as Mackie's ever looked in his life, watch the Rise music video.
Yeah.
He's
on another level.
He's
so
awesome.
So here's a question. If you didn't know,
mm-hmm.
when the first at what point on this record do you recognize that it's not HR? I think it's still the third track.
It's about that's actually I you know I re-listened to some of this because this isn't I can't say I'm super familiar with Rise.
Sure.
But he sounds so much like HR on here. It's ridiculous.
There's a part, I think, in this, probably the third song, maybe the fourth song. One of the reggae songs, I noticed it sounds different,
mm-hmm.
and he sounds a little different because he's using a different voice. He's using a different singy voice than HR ever did.
Okay.
And there's one faster part, faster song, and then it gets kind of a more rhythmic part where his kind of his balance, how he's going back and forth, his kind of like how he bounces the words is very un-HR.
Okay.
And I'm not saying it's not. It couldn't be HR, but it's like, oh, that doesn't sound like the dude.
There's a song on this record, and again, I'm not super familiar with this record. So what's your – like if someone said, Bob, what do you think about Bad Brains Rise? Like just like a quick like – like not in like a – like we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Like kind of
yeah.
Like, somebody, what do you think?
Like to be honest, over the last 2 years I've given it more of a shot.
Same thing with me.
It's got some stuff. It's got some like cool songs. It's like way better if I was – okay, and if I was 18.
Yeah.
Ask me the question.
Yeah. Bob, did you ever catch that Bad Brains Rise record?
Yeah, it sucks. Don't give it any time. Whatever.
Yes,
who cares?
Yeah. I would have said the exact same thing even up until 30 probably.
Yeah, right. But I have to admit, like when I listen to it, I'm like, oh, this is cool. I think it's the last record where I think, okay, this is the way I'll put it. It's the last record of the Bad Brains growth curve. And what that means is that if you listen to the Bad Brains records sequentially, if you listen to them in when this was recorded order, you can almost hear the evolution of sound.
Yep, absolutely. Until this record.
Yeah, and to Rise. And Rise,
I think I completely agree with
and
that.
And Rise still has a little bit of the evolution from
yes.
quickness.
Yes, it does.
They start to reach back into their Bad Brains bag, but it's not full on. It's not self-referential in the way that the God of Love, Build a Nation – and Into the Future are. And the only thing is, like, if you listen to Rise and you listen to Rock for Light, they sound like completely different animals. But if you
yep.
listen to Rise and you listen to Quickness, you go, okay.
Okay.
And
oh,
if you
definitely.
Listen to Quickness and Eye Against Eye, you go, okay. And then if you listen to Quickness or listen to Rise and Eye Against Eye, you go, okay.
Yeah.
It's just when you go to that one more step removed.
Step away.
You can stay two steps removed and be like, yeah, all right, you get it. But yeah, I think the singer's great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's not HR. It's
no.
sort of fucked up to say that, but like,
no.
I think he does a great job, intentionally or not, doing
mm-hmm.
an HR clone. But
he sounds so much like HR. But like, in re-listening to this, some of this recently, and I've listened to Rise a few times over the last few years.
Yeah.
Again, like 10 years ago, I would have been like, meh, sucks.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have HR on it.
Yeah.
But
that's, it's like the easiest dismissal.
It is.
It probably totally doesn't deserve that.
It doesn't deserve that. I actually almost saw them on this tour.
Oh, really?
I wasn't allowed to go see them. They played at the Saint in like 1994,
okay,
or maybe late 93.
The St. Asbury Park, New Jersey.
St. Asbury Park, New Jersey. It's a tiny little club.
Yep.
And I remember seeing, I probably went to Wildside and bought the Aquarian or the East Coast Rocker,
EC Rocker,
which actually was free. And there was like all like the show listings, and I wasn't allowed. I was probably 13. Mm-hmm. But the song Rise, and there was a music video for it. And for all the like bigger mainstream bands, the Beastie Boys and Red Hot Chili Peppers, who gave this band props and never broke into the mainstream.
Yeah.
I think the song Rise, more than anything, should have kind of put them at least in that like Living Color kind of light.
Yep.
Because Living Color, let's be honest, I mean, Living Color was really Bad Brains Light and just happened to catch a weird wave. And
it, like, slightly more produced vocal effect. Like, you put it right on top, a little cleaner, like, slightly more accessible background. But yeah, I mean,
for those who don't know Living Color, it's a CM Punk's entrance music song.
For all the wrestling meets punk connection. So Rise, we're giving this weird, like, kind of like nod. Like, now here's what I would say, coming from a faster hardcore background.
Yep.
There's certainly a time where I would have been like, this is barely hardcore.
Yeah, I agree. And even
and there's and elements now where it's like, this is kind of halfway metal.
There's almost some rappy
stuff
in there too.
And that's,
which I don't think they ever really, not in, prior to that.
Nope.
And I don't know. I don't think post that really they kind of dealt
with it. I think HR doesn't, like, vocally, he doesn't, like, that's the part I was talking about is that Joseph I almost, he'll almost scat and kind of like hit beats.
Yeah.
Whereas HR will do really rhythmic singing, but it follows such a different tempo and like his cadence and like he throws stuff in with his tone. And like, I just think of when he gets really shrilly and like, that, it's so different that what Joseph, this dude can do that.
He's incredibly talented.
He technically might be as, I mean, technically he might be better than HR.
Yeah.
HR just is so singular and unique. Like, I don't know if I can put anyone above HR.
No, I think HR would be my favorite vocalist of all time.
Same. Like, he's there with the best of the very best to me, across genres. Just to be clear,
but for like a vocal talent,
yes, this dude,
he's right up there, maybe better.
Yeah.
You know?
So, but like maybe what hurt this record was that it wasn't funk metal, and it was something that people hadn't discovered. And I think this is on Maverick, right? This is
on Epic,
which
was before Maverick.
Before Maverick, which was Madonna's label.
Yeah,
yep.
Which Gotta Love came out.
Yeah. So. Like, okay, so here we go. What type of music would you call this? Hardcore?
No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I don't think I would. I mean, maybe now, you know, looking back on it.
Broader spectrum.
Yeah. It's a hardcore record.
But at
the time, you would probably call it alternative, you know?
Yeah.
It was filed in the alternative section at All Wilk Music in Brick, New Jersey in 1993.
Alternative metal.
Other.
Yeah, like, and it still has elements, but this is like the final destination of where the groove, like maybe you could call it groove alt metal, because it's not.
It's totally, definitely groovy, which is a theme for this kind of chunk of records of theirs. Which I'll talk about it more on another one of the records, but so hard. Also, another thing that I just wanted to touch on with Israel, so hard to replace an iconic singer.
Yes.
And he stepped in, you know, pretty admirably.
And on the recording, at the very least, he had, you know, HR on these recordings, I think one of the things that stands and what I, and I'll mention it in my rankings, but one of the things I did feel on Build a Nation that I didn't feel on Into the Future was that HR, his personality is larger than life. And I think you can hear that on the Bad Brains recordings. And with Rise, I think that Israel Joseph steps up to this point where it's like, yeah, okay, I'm taking over this dude's mantle, but I'm not going to shy away. I'm going to be it. And it's weird because
it is.
Like, if I had to rank Rise as a record, just objectively 1 to 10, maybe I give it a 6. And like when 15 years ago, I would have given it a 3.
Yeah.
I give it a 6. It's this weird record that I've come to appreciate more and more as I've gotten older. But I think it's pretty cool, and I almost respect it more than I like it.
I can probably say the same.
So
think it's pretty fair.
If, as like Patrick, this was your introduction to the Bad Brains,
would you this was his introduction to the Bad Brains? First,
yeah. Yeah, which, by the way, we'll eventually do a Bad Brains thing with Tom and Pat for sure.
Okay. So,
for the main feed. But would this inspire you to dive further into the Bad Brains?
It probably would have. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's it's a tough one.
It's a weird placement. It's still on the brink.
If I hadn't already heard some of the stuff before this, and this was I caught this music video on 120 minutes, you know, on MTV, I probably would have said, "What? That's interesting. Well, you know, what? Yeah, I think it would have intrigued me for sure. It would have intrigued me for sure, but." I wonder, like, if someone like a Patrick, and I guess you have to ask him, it's like, how did this become the first Bad Brains? Like, did somebody recommend this to him, or did somebody just generally recommend the Bad Brains, and he said, go to the record store, oh, here's what they have, this was the most recent thing they put out.
Yeah, no, I I would hope that someone would dig further in. I don't think this is enough to fully be like, this is the greatest. Oh, I fucking love this record. But I also think it's not enough to turn someone off. Like, the difference between this and, as we go later, the like 2000s era records, it wasn't boring to me to listen to this record. There's enough going on that I'm not like, meh, you know, a little long. But yeah, I think they started – this is also –
First a major label record probably.
I think this is the first record in which they start trying to write longer songs. And I think you can hear it more so on Build a Nation and Into the Future and even God of Love. But you hear these songs where they're kind of interested in writing these churny guitar parts that are lasting like – several beats, like they're going through this thing, and I think it's an effort to write longer songs.
Sometimes.
Hey, how do we write this? And it's like these dudes were probably the best short songwriters of their time, and it's this transition period where it's like, well, we're trying to break into a larger scene, alternative, et cetera, et cetera. You got to have 3-minute songs, and it's like, fuck, these dudes wrote killer minute and a half, 2-minute songs.
Kings of it, you know, for the most part.
Okay, so we are at Build a Nation, Into the Future, Rise,
God of Love.
God of Love, 1995.
The single came out in 94. Yes. This was the first Bad Brains record, the first new Bad Brains record I bought. And I remember being so fucking excited that the Bad Brains were, first of all, getting back together with HR. They were touring. They were recording a new record. And I could not wait to get my hands on this new record. I think I probably went to that record store we talked about in the shopping center and like asked every – I don't know how I learned that they were coming out with a new record. But probably – in fact, it's funny. I think at this time period they were getting a little coverage in like Rolling Stone. Like there may have been like a – some of like the larger music magazines were kind of covering them at the time. So it was the first new Bad Brains record that I got. In retrospect, like, there's definitely a part of – I probably would have dropped this lower on my list if I didn't have some nostalgic connection to it because I forced myself to try to like it.
Yeah, because it was Bad Brains.
It was the Bad Brains. It was the first new Bad Brains record, and I just listened to it so much. And in revisiting it, it definitely does not – It's not like – it's like when you root for a crappy sports team and you're like, yeah, but they're my Jets. Like I know they suck, but they're my Jets. Yes. So it's kind of like when I go back and listen to this record, I'm like, I know it's not the greatest record in the entire world, but like it was special to me because it was the first new Bad Brains record I bought. Some tracks, some high points, some fast stuff.
Agreed. I think this is the first one, like I said, more so even than Rise, where I think they start being a little bit self-referential. I think a little bit of
this
like,
is the
hey,
one, here's the Maverick record. This is the Maverick record. So which Madonna was,
yeah.
who was in charge of
shout out Madonna.
Yeah, shout out Madonna for signing the Bad Brains.
All right, Gotta Love is a is this so this wasn't your introduction, but it was your first new one.
It was my first new, yeah.
One, so would this inspire the Bad Brains rabbit hole?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it would. I would hope so for if someone heard this as their first Bad Brains record. There's again some fast stuff on there, you know me and you know I love the fast.
How do you so all right,
tongue tea tie.
You're not huge on reggae.
No, not really. Good.
Do you like the Bad Brains reggae songs? And do you like them on here?
Some of them I like a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Yo, I love the bad. I like reggae.
And I'm not. Okay.
But this is one of the intro points for me to reggae. I think it's not a bad intro point for reggae.
Okay.
Not necessarily God of Love, but Bad Brains reggae.
What I like, probably what I like. So the reggae stuff of the Bad Brains that I like is mostly on the older records.
Yes.
Mostly on Rock for Light and the Roar record. But the reggae stuff on here is like, when I like listen back to it, I would call it big studio reggae.
Oh,
whereas like the old stuff sounds really, really stripped down and raw, and I think that's might be part of the appeal for me anyway, because I tend to kind of gravitate towards that style of sound, production sound. But yeah, there's definitely you could tell they're using all that Madonna money to make these like you know.
So, man, I would love to get a '90s like big studio person in. Or really not in. I'd like to ask them a question and find out how much money they spent on this record. Because the thing is, if you're on a major label in the 90s, there's a good chance you had a pretty big budget. And I'm not saying that like it's the Bad Brains weren't a like, hey, we're giving them $1 million budget kind of band even then. But I bet they had a lot of money. And I bet they had a big recording budget for this. And I would love to know what that number is.
Yeah, so, I'd be curious to see.
All right, so that is your bottom four.
Bottom four, yeah.
This is before we get to any of the 80s records. Let me give you my ranking really? So far. Mine up to this point, there's
a
break.
That's all post-80s.
Yeah. Into the Future is my bottom.
Okay.
The reason why I think there's a little more attitude on the others than I have God of Love.
Okay.
Which I enjoyed, but I haven't revisited. And I'm like, it's – I can feel it. It's the first time where I think HR slips off. He's not bad, but he's not himself from the 80s, you know?
That's a great point. You know? I absolutely agree with
that. I remember hearing that as a kid because I heard God of Love in the late 90s.
You know what he loses? The grit in his vocals.
Yes.
Which part of the beauty of why he's my all-time favorite vocalist is because he can go from that guttural scream to hitting actual notes and it's beautiful.
Yes.
Better than anyone I've ever heard.
So then I put Rise because, again, Joseph, impressive. I like their weird groove vault metal.
Mm-hmm.
Then I put Build a Nation, which is way higher than you had it. You had it at the bottom.
But our bottom four are the exact same, just in a different order.
Well, I think exactly. And I think
they're the same bottom four. Just
so this is how I'd qualify these. These are what we might collectively refer to as Bad Brains records. They're not bad by other standards, but by the Bad Brains standards.
They're bad Brains records.
They're bad
Which
brains
is a good
records.
Record for a lot of other...
Good for a lot of people.
Bad Bad Brains,
bad
is,
for
bad,
the bad brains.
Is better than good most
90%
of
other musical acts. Build a Nation has a little bit of edginess and like aggression, and I actually think HR... You know, for lack of a better term, swags more on this record than he does on God of Love or Into the Future. He just has a little more attitude, and I don't know where it comes from because
produced by one of the Beastie Boys, I believe.
Oh, really?
Did we mention that before?
No, we didn't. That's
I don't remember which one, but someone.
That's cool. Shout out.
Yeah.
The thing that that gets me is that by that point, by the time they recorded Build a Nation, I'd seen them several times. A few times they were incredible, and. Once they were so bad, I walked out during their set. I saw them at the Worcester Palladium. And
what year was that?
2001.
When was the first time you saw them?
I saw them at Birch Hill with, I don't remember.
Was that their first, was the first time
Soul
back?
Brains?
Soulbrains? Yep. That's another thing we didn't talk about. They put out God of Love.
Yes.
They were called the Bad Brains. and they had some kind of weird legal dispute where they were no longer allowed to use the name Bad Brains. So they were touring as the Soul Brains.
Yes.
So this is the exact same band.
Same band, same but they members, had to have a different song. Different branding, basically. Yeah.
That was the first time I saw it.
Yeah, and it was amazing. It was, like, incredible.
In retrospect, it probably wasn't as better as I – is. I'm sorry. It probably wasn't as good as I remember it being, but I was just so psyched to see them.
So it's part of – so, yes, you're probably right.
Yeah.
But our whole group of friends were all – yeah. It was like giving a bunch of kids who don't do drugs crack. We were all excited, and it was like, oh, shit, they played, like, four of the first six songs were hardcore songs.
Yeah.
And then there was a long, maybe 40 minutes. It felt like 5 hours, but it was a long reggae break, which is cool for a song or two. And then you're like, oh man. And then they played more hardcore songs. Yeah. And it was really good.
And I think they did an encore with Panic Com and some other hardcore songs.
Yeah.
But
so they then on sequential tours, they would vacillate. That first tour back, I think they were pretty universally good. Nice mix.
Good brains.
Yes. Good soul brains. But after that, they were having issues. And the stories are out there, but it's like HR was off his rocker. And some shows you'd get good HR. Some shows you'd get HR with a space helmet on talking to a bird.
And I didn't see any of those.
So I didn't
see – I saw some bad ones.
Yeah, and
but there's the one that everyone talked
about. The Philly one. I think it was Philly. Worcester was on that
Charlie,
same tour.
Charlie talks about that all the time.
I didn't see him in Philly. I saw him in Worcester. And the Worcester show, it was like, oh, this is bad. Like I remember actively going out in Worcester. There's nothing else to do there. I think I ate a sausage and pepper from the street vendor and like – just love stood there by sausage. Myself, like, all right, this is better than what's going on in there. So we're through the bad brains.
Yes.
Which we've noted. There's some tracks, and there's some cool songs. Let's get to the good bad brains.
Okay. So to me, the board, straddling the line of the good bad brains.
Yes.
Quickness.
Yep.
Bob, ask me what 18-year-old Andy thought about quickness.
Hey, 18-year-old Andy, what do you think of Bad Brains' quickness?
Sucks.
Yeah. Had the same opinion.
Yeah.
Remember older dudes, some would get bent at me. Like, no.
Yeah.
It's fucking good. And I'd be like, they're like, it's just a little different than Eye Against Eye. And I'm like, and I remember being like, fuck the fuck off. Eye Against Eye is great and quickness sucks. I'm here to repent my sins.
Yeah, I heard.
I don't like it as much as Eye Against Eye. Same. Not close.
Yep, same.
But it's pretty good.
There's some weird shit as you get deep into it. It's front loaded as fuck, if you ask me.
Yes.
But undeniable first couple tracks. I think actually, I don't know. One of the times that me and Dave were on with Tom, somehow Bad Brains came up and we talked about quickness and that little scat part at the beginning.
Yes.
I don't know why. I don't know how that worked, but it's like a perfect opening going right into Soulcraft. And then continuing a tradition, which is on another record that I really love.
Yes.
Voyage to Infinity.
Mm-hmm.
They take an instrumental intro from a previous record and turn it into a full song. So the intro to the whole Eye Against Eye record is the intro to the song Voyage into Infinity.
Awesome.
And I love that they do that because they did it. We'll talk about it again. They did it on a prior record too. Yeah,
which is
cool. So
that's one of the things they excelled at is creating that narrative and bridging between albums.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like they were self-aware and confident enough to create those kind of things even early on and like to be like, yeah, We know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Check it out.
So
33 minutes, this record.
Yeah.
Which sounds about right.
I think it sounds about right.
Drags a little bit towards the end.
For me, it does, yeah. I have no patience.
But. Starts to hit that, like, not is this hardcore. I think it's a hardcore record, but you're also getting alt metal, getting a little groove metal. Yep,
definitely groove. This is really, I think, when they start to hit their groove, pun intended.
Guitar parts are a lot chunkier here, even than on Eye Against Eye, I think.
I think there's a lot of hardcore bands in the last decade to two decades that, whether they know it or not, whether it's a direct lineage or a direct influence, owe a lot to this record. Yes. I think this record, and it's funny because it's not, it's still not my favorite Bad Brains record. There's five yeah. above it. Yeah. But even in, you know, admitting that, it's so difficult to not note how influential this record and this sound was to a yeah. lot that would come. I think they influenced, I think this sound influenced a lot of what would come into like New York hardcore yep. stuff. And then, you know, years later, I mean, that bounce kind of yep. sound is really, really prominent. I don't want to say they invented it.
No.
I don't want to say they.
I think the funk metal weird kind of like early 90s, more mainstream stuff certainly, certainly. Owes to this. And it's like certainly. You could see a world, there is a timeline that Quickness does really well, and they're doing direct support for Red Hot Chili Peppers, or they're getting the opportunity to be a buzzbin band, but it just didn't come together. Would this is the first record where I would say if you got in at Quickness,
you're definitely
going down the
you're
line.
Definitely going down the line. You're definitely going. This is awesome.
What else is there?
I need to know. Yeah, what else these guys got? I agree. And I might not have said that again 10 years ago, but
yeah.
One, I definitely appreciate it more, and two, like I said, I hit me a weird point. I listened to this record sometime within the last 5 or 6 years, and I was like, God, this. There's a lot of bands that owe this record a debt of gratitude.
So I think also we'd be. We should mention the song Don't Blow No Bubbles.
Sure. Let's talk about that.
Homophobic song.
Homophobic song. I don't.
Unfortunate.
It's a skipper track for me, to be honest with you. Agreed. Even without knowing the lyrical content. Yeah. I think it took years later to for put someone it all together. To
don't
tell
blow
me.
No bubbles. Don't blow no spikes.
I think someone told me that was. Yeah. So, yeah, that's, you know, that's a good stain on their. On their record, not the first of an instance of them being known to have some homophobic stuff. Which
it's hard because I'm not excusing that at all.
No, you know what I mean? it's yeah, no, nor am I.
I think it's hard because I mean we know we have friends who either actively still don't like the Bad Brains because of that stuff, mm-hmm. or who for a long time didn't give them a chance because of that stuff. And like I don't, there's no argument I'm gonna make. For that, I think that these are dudes who, at the very least, have admitted wrongdoing in that and said, yes. Yeah, that wasn't cool, that sucks, blah, blah, blah.
People can change.
Yeah.
I think people can kind of see that maybe things that they did in the past weren't so great. There is actually a pretty long history of people involved in this world of punk and hardcore who may have said or done dumb, stupid, ignorant things yeah. in the past and realized that they were, you know,
in the wrong.
And I actually, I should have thought of it before we got into this, but there's an interview that I can't remember from the last like 4 or 5 years, I believe, with Daryl Jennifer, yeah. where he's like, we were fucking stupid, you know, younger people, yeah. you know, I mean, yeah, but I mean, that doesn't make it right that they did it back then.
Doesn't make it right, and it doesn't make it something that you ignore or just say, well,
it's
you
part
know.
Of their, it's part it's of their part history. Of the history,
and it's kind of like, to me, the mistake we make often is not allowing that to be something that's a part of it. That's why I thought it was important for us to say that and talk about it. Earlier in their career, they had a run-in with the Big Boys, which is a really notable thing, Big Boys being punk hardcore funk band from Austin, Texas, with a couple of openly homosexual members in the early 80s in Austin, Texas. So wrap your head around that. And the Bad Brains were dickheads to them on multiple levels. And I've read
yeah.
more detailed accounts. That's
a well-known story.
Yeah, so if you don't know it, go ahead and Google that and learn some of this shit about the Bad Brains that's like not the prettiest part of this.
Yeah.
And some of that.
There's some ugliness.
You know, and it's like there's a lot of like, oh, well, why were they like that? And you can make excuses for it. I don't choose to make any. I love this band, but those warts are there. So, yeah. like, you know, acknowledge it. That is what it is. Quickness is a pretty good record. Next.
Quickness is a pretty good record. Skip that song.
To the great records.
Yes. Okay. So there's a couple weird ones in here. In the mid-90s, there was a couple different lost recordings that surfaced of some Bad Brain stuff, mm-hmm. which is pretty neat. So the next record that I have on my list is Black Dots.
Okay.
Black Dots is
released by Victory, maybe? No, who put out that record? No, it wasn't.
Well, I think the Omega Sessions.
Omega Sessions was on Victory. Right?
Was on Victory. Black Dots was recorded with at Inner Ear Studios, which is pretty you know, well known Washington D.C. extremely important to the Washington D.C. hardcore scene.
Caroline.
Okay. Yes, Caroline. It's really it's a raw recording of some just absolutely classic Bad Brains material. When it first came out, I didn't love it because what it offered to me was songs that I already knew and loved, but slowed down versions of them. It actually took me a couple years for me to really appreciate kind of this. You get to see this kind of raw. I keep saying raw. I need to find another word to describe.
No, it's you know what? I think it, because I think you could probably describe the first three Bad Brains records as raw. In some way. But this
these
is
are a, like almost these like
are
demos.
These are stripped down songs, and
like fuzz on the guitar isn't even like a
like
what you would typically think of as like kind of like the punk hardcore sound. It's very stripped down.
It's the tempo is different. It is a lot more, you know, for lack of a better term, lo-fi punk.
Yes.
It's late, it's 79 is the recording, I think. Maybe even before that.
Excuse me. Yes, I believe so.
So it's super early. And when you listen to it, it's like, oh, if you know the Bad Brains, you might know most of these songs, but it's almost as if a lo-fi band from Williamsburg in 2004 was covering them. But it's still like, I love this record. It grew on me.
I don't know
the first time I heard it, what I thought of it. I think it was kind of completely foreign. Like, wait, what? What does this sound like? You know, like, because the first Bad Brain stuff I heard was Roar, the Roar tape. And when you hear this, it's, is it halfway to it has more in common with the Clash and the Ramones than it does in the Sex Pistols.
There's a straight Sex Pistols ripoff.
Yes.
Song on here.
Than it does, say, Cro-Mags or the New York hardcore stuff that Bad Brains influenced, or any of the DC hardcore stuff. It's like, oh, this is almost, it feels like a relic.
You can tell it's really rudimentary versions of some of these songs. They were really just finding their sound, kind of. And the cool thing about it that I actually did really appreciate, although I had a weird bootleg that had some of these songs on it, there are like a good, you know, clutch five or six songs on here that were never re-recorded or re-released on any other. So like, if you're a guy who loves the Bad Brains and you have the classic Bad Brains material, there's not, you know, you're not going to hear, At the Atlantis or Redbone in the City, which is the total Sex Pistols rip song, or The Man Won't Annoy Ya.
Oh, so good. So
it was cool. It's almost like you're hearing new old Bad Brain songs for the first time, you know, 15 years after, you know, it was recorded.
Feels completely classic.
Yeah.
Especially now. I think this is canon. You have to know this record to know the Bad Brains. I don't think it's required listening. However, if this was where you first heard the Bad Brains, I think I'm totally in to hear some of the other songs.
Yeah, I think so too. I think if this was your intro to them, you would, you would have to.
And it's funny because you'd be going the other way.
You would be.
Everything else we've talked about, this backwards. One, you're going backwards. This way, you're going forward.
This is really some of your earliest recordings.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.
Hey you, do you have any plans this year? Ha! How's that going? Did you get 2020'd? Well, welcome to a brand new podcast called 2020'd, where myself, Benny Goodman, and my good friends Corey Pazin and Siobhan Cronin from the band Lost Symphony also got 2020'd.
And since the world ended this year, we decided why not just check in with some of our friends in the music industry and see how everyone's doing.
We're going to get a candid look at life on and off the stage, as well as the mindset of some of the most successful people in the entertainment industry.
New episodes drop every Sunday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern.
And you can listen at 2020-D.com, SoundTalentMedia.com, or on your favorite podcast app.
Want to move on to the next one?
Let's hit the next one.
So the next one, in the same vein, was the Omega Sessions.
Yes.
The Omega Sessions.
Similar time frame of release.
Similar time frame. A little later. I think the Omega Sessions, and I don't have all like the recording. It was another lost recording. This was only an EP. It actually, what I loved about it is it almost seemed like it bridged between like the early stuff, like the Rock for Light and Roar Sessions with Eye Against Eye, because it has tracks from both of those eras. It has the song Eye Against Eye on it. I believe that's the opening track on it. But then it has an amazing version of Stay Close to Me, which is the B-side of Pay to Come. And it's got a couple, I think, At the Movies, Attitude. And it's just, I don't know what they originally recorded it for. I don't know if it was supposed to be.
I've never understood that either. I don't know if there's ever been.
Because it's a good recording. That's the other
very
thing.
Very good.
It's really good. It's a really nice sounding recording. And it is, this is actually the one that came out on Victory.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's short. I think it came out, was it on vinyl? Was it a 10-inch?
10-inch,
I think it was a 10-inch. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's like short, it's powerful, every...
Six songs,
yep.
Crushes. It's golden material.
It really is,
It's just really good.
It's, like, again, like, it's an EP, so, sometimes you can't really compare it to the LPs, but when I heard, this was one of those ones, the first time I put it on, and it was all songs that I knew already at the time, but I still just, it just captures that magic that this band is known for.
So to me, it's also the last two things we talked about, Black Dots and Omega Sessions,
mm-hmm.
are this weird testament to the time that was before, where a band like the Bad Brains, who, look, we talked about it, they kind of were the little train that couldn't. They were classic. They were seen as like classic. They were made like the Beastie Boys were huge by the late 80s,
mm-hmm.
and they were like, yo, no, this is the most important band in the world. Kurt Cobain puts a Bad Brains record in his top 50 records of all time. There's all these people who are like, yo, the Bad Brains, that's who it is.
They could just never put it together.
They could never put it together. Not even like bands, you know, not peers, but contemporaries. You know, like if you had to ask me, I think that Fugazi reached higher heights than the Bad Brains.
Yeah.
In terms of like touring, sustainability, all this stuff. And that's a band who really carved their own path, made their own choices in a really different way than the Bad Brains. And it's not to dismiss this. The Bad Brains, I think, if somebody's like, hey, Bad Brains, you guys should be the biggest band in the world, they'd be like, sure. Hey, we're going to put you on tour with Motley Crue. They'd go, sure. No diss, no digs, no nothing. But it just never all came together. Yet still somehow this band was able to have multiple recordings that were just unearthed, like 18 years after the fact that are awesome. So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that was the record, the Omega Sessions, came out in 1997, but was definitely I want to say it was probably recorded in 82
yep.
or maybe 83.
And if that's your introduction, you're clearly diving in.
Yeah.
You're like, holy shit, what's this band about?
Yeah.
All right, we're about to go to the medal ceremony here, right?
Okay.
Gold, silver, bronze, the top.
Oh, right? Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay. The medal ceremony. Yes.
So let's hear who your bronze medal goes to.
My bronze medal goes to. No surprise to you, I'm sure. But you could guess this one.
I can guess this one.
Eye Against Eye.
Fantastic record.
Fantastic record.
The first time you heard it,
mm-hmm.
Now, okay, so because of the live record, I knew
three or four tracks.
Okay, so it wasn't a total surprise. Did you hear the Roar Sessions or Rock for Light before this?
That's a really good question. I have a hard time remembering
which
of those three I heard first. I probably heard Rock for Light before this.
Okay. Yeah. For me, I heard Roar Sessions first. That's the first one I heard. Then heard Rock for Light.
How did you have, when you first heard the Roar Sessions, what format did you get it on?
I actually bought it on CD.
Okay.
But I'd heard it on cassette earlier.
Okay.
Which was that.
Amanda
actually owns the original, has an original
cassette.
Roar tape. Yeah.
Cassette. Okay. I did.
Yeah.
When I first got it, I got it from Sessions Magazine. Which was a skate magazine. It also had some music and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only format it was available in at the time. I ordered it through the mail. But back to Eye Against Eye.
But so for me, though, like on Eye Against Eye, I heard it after Rock for Light. I heard it after Roar Sessions, after Rock for Light.
Okay.
I remember being kind of like, whoa, this is different.
It is different.
I liked it, but I'd also heard other hardcore. But I remember it being like, whoa, this is really a different sound.
See, I had that sampler of having that live record.
Yep.
So when I first heard this, it was like, oh, here's what the studio version of Reignition sounds like. Here's what the studio version of Sacred Love sounds like. Which, by the way, weird vocal effect on Sacred Love.
Doesn't bother you?
The urban legend.
I think it's confirmed.
Is that confirmed?
They talk about it in documentaries.
If you remember back to the beginning of the episode, me talking about how I had an older stepbrother who got me into the Bad Brains. When I finally heard this record, he said, and I don't know how much of this actually came out to be exactly true, but from him, the story was the Bad Brains used to bring like duffel bags of weed with them on tour.
That sounds believable.
And HR got tossed in jail for it at one point, and they had Eye Against Eye mostly recorded, and he recorded the vocals to Sacred Love over the jail phone, like when you go visit somebody
confirmed.
In prison. Okay, that's awesome.
Incredible.
And
he lied. He apparently, they didn't know what he was doing to do it, and he figured out how to do it from the phone.
Incredible.
And the lyrics reflect that. You're in, I'm in here,
you're out
there.
Yeah.
So good. I love this record. It's easily in my top 20 hardcore records of all time, maybe top 10. And it's hard because so are the next two. But this record's so good. If you like anything from like I think this record directly influenced New York hardcore from like 88 to 90 to beyond.
Yeah.
I think if you listen to Eye Against Eye, you have to hear the influence it has on stuff like Burn, a lot of other grooving stuff.
I would even say Madball.
For sure.
This and Quickness, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just think this, like, you can't be understated how important the Bad Brains were on hardcore. And I mean, even to stuff like Quicksand, I think Eye Against Eye has a big impact.
Yeah.
Post-hardcore, I think that they were doing stuff guitar-wise that you can pick up on a lot of alternative and underground and hardcore music from that point on. It starts on Eye Against Eye and continues through Quickness. And I think those two records reverberated in a way that impacted all these different other points that then impacted even more.
I always think about this when I think about records that I wasn't around for when they came out. So it would be cool to hear somebody's perspective on something like this. But because there was maybe a softening of the sound on this record from the previous records, like, do you think that turned some people away? Like, I mean, there's a lot more sing-songy. Oh, also, not a lot of is there any reggae on here?
Oh.
Secret 77?
No, because it kind of parallels
with no reggae.
Because they do some more of the, like, it's more like prog rock. Like, prog metal, like,
that's kind of
a Secret 77. That's not a reggae song.
No, not at all.
Yeah, but that's interesting.
So they have these. They infuse this like kind of jazz and funk influences for the first time, They HR sings a lot more. He still screams at sometimes at some points, but he sings a lot more than he did on the previous records. And I mean, just those other influences added into it. If you're like a diehard, dyed in the wool early '80s punk hardcore fan, I could see that turning you away. But
I could see
shit is so fucking catchy. Like,
it's so built in.
She's Calling You is like play that at my funeral. Like,
that's the part about the Bad Brains is that I think if they're one of your entry point bands, if they're an early band for you, and if you haven't gotten into them, good God, please do. But they're an entry point band for you. They really give you a breath of what can be done in this world and in this music lane that, you know, like, as we start to say this, like, this is moving away. This is moving pretty left to center from, like, fast punk music. If you listen to Negative Approach and then listen to Eye Against Eye, pretty different things. But they're both on my menu.
There were not a lot of bands that came from the hardcore punk world that started trying to go in a different direction and pulled it off.
Yeah.
Like they did.
I mean, they if you listen to Rock for Light and then you listen to Eye Against Eye, just list, you know, the record that went directly before and the record that went directly after. They're two very different sounds and they're classics. You know, I think it's almost inarguable. Even if you don't like the band, it's like, oh, Bad Brains Rock for Light's not a classic punk or hardcore record. Okay. Eye Against Eye's not a classic punk hardcore record. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, you can't argue the status.
Inarguable.
One other point, because you brought up the no reggae on this record, this is also during the midst of HR doing Human Rights.
His other projects.
Which I actually really like the first couple records.
It's About Love.
Happy Birthday, My Son. Oh, it's heartbreaking. there are some really cool songs. There's actually some hardcore-ish stuff going on in the first couple
That first HR EP, there's a couple songs on there that if you are that diehard, like, old-school hardcore bad – if you don't fuck with Eye Against Eye, if you're a Bad Brains – Earlier, there's a couple songs, and you don't know, there's a couple songs on that first HR EP that sound like lost stuff from the Roar Sessions.
It's funny because HR is almost inverted Bad Brains. It's like, oh, Bad Brains LP, it's like 12 songs, 9 hardcore songs, 3 reggae songs. It's like, oh, HR record, like 8 songs, 5 or 6 reggae songs, 2 hardcore songs.
And I would maybe if you ask me in 10 more years, I might change my opinion on this, but I'll still say the majority of the other HR solo project stuff is pretty
bad.
Not great.
The first couple records I like. I'll put together a playlist.
Okay.
Okay. Nice. So this is where we get interesting. We've got the gold and silver medalists here.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Roar Sessions, which is Bad Brain self-titled, Lightning Striking the Capitol,
everybody knows that.
Versus Rock for Light.
Yep.
Heavyweights. A lot of the same songs.
Yeah. Yep.
Different recording sessions.
Yep. Completely different.
Parse it. Give it to me. What do you think?
This is so tough. It's
super tough. Super tough for me. Really, I think if you're a big Bad Brains fan in any way, this is a really tough conversation.
Yeah, this is a really tough conversation. It is. It's like, I'm trying to think of something to compare it to, like, in closeness of how much I love the two of these records. But I'm struggling, so I'm just going to get into it.
Yeah.
The Roar, Silver Medal would be the Roar.
Okay, good. Yes. Set. Okay. I'm the same.
Oh, are you? Okay. Yeah. Okay. I don't know if it's because maybe I heard Rock for Light first. I don't know. There are things about the Roar record, the self-titled, that I love so much that aren't on any of the other records. First of all, there's some of the divergent songs, because there are a lot of the same songs, but you have Don't Need It. You have a different recording of Pay to Come from the Pay to Come 7-inch.
Yes.
Which is the Pay to Come considerably faster.
Yeah, the Pay to Come version on Roar is unreal. It's almost unbelievable to listen to it.
Yeah. You have the song Regulator, which is a top 3 Bad Brain song of all time, not on Rock for Life.
Which puts it in a top 5 hardcore song of all time.
Yeah. Only on the Roar. And then even, like, I Love I Ja, like,
awesome.
Great reggae song. The production of there's a thing that I talk about on the production of Roar. And I'm not a gear guy. I've played in a bunch of bands. I've never been like a big gear guy. I'm not a sound engineer. So somebody who's more well-versed in that type of thing could probably explain this to me or probably replicate it. And I'd like you to replicate
it. Let's get some feedback.
It is the sound that I can only think has to be a pedal that Dr. No is using before he goes into like the solos on some of the songs.
Yeah.
Specifically the solo on Big Takeover. This is how much I've listened to this record. These are like the little, when you listen to records so much,
yes,
they got these like weird little, it sounds like it's being played over an AM radio station is the only way I can describe it. And it just adds something to these records that is so just classic to me. Go listen to that, the solo on the Big Takeover. Like, oh. It sounds like the very end of it. It sounds like I said, it sounds like it's being played over a CB radio. That's
yeah, like it's a buzzing. I mean,
or like a walkie talkie.
So the first,
but it works.
The Roar Sessions is the first Bad Brains record I owned.
Okay.
It was one of the first four hardcore punk records I purchased. And the sound of it. So in that four, the two older, the three of them, I think I was 10-Yard Fight, Hardcore Pride,
nice.
Bad Brains, Roar Sessions, Minor Threat Discography, and Descendants All. Bad Brains, Roar Sessions, and Minor Threat. I just remember the guitar sound on those two records. It's just buzzing. It's buzzing. And let's talk more about Bad Brains for a minute. Like, there's parts on that record that I can hear just sitting here as we talk about it. And like, I haven't listened to Roar Session in a while just because I feel like I've probably listened to that record as much as I've listened to any record in my life because it's so important. And like, I feel like you can
probably play it over in your head.
Yeah,
without even having to listen to it.
You can feel the pulse of that record. You can feel how much they were feeling it. The energy, the transitions between songs, Right Brigade, like that buildup, which to be honest, when I listen to the Rock for Lights version, I'm like, oh, it's almost even more crushing. But the Roar Sessions one is the one I hear. It's perfect. It really has a raw recording. But somehow, to me, it still feels timeless. And this is sort of a pushback because I know there's people who on their sonic sensibilities are like, hey, the early Bad Brains stuff, it's neat and all, but I hate the way it sounds. I hate the production. And that's, it's like one of the hardest things for me to compute. But if all you've known in your hardcore listening existence is stuff that's a little cleaner or it's a little sharper, I guess I get it. But to me, the fact that they were doing it at that time in that way, it's just like, it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say enough about either of these two records, but
so let's shift over. Yeah, like if the Roar Sessions is one of the first punk or hardcore records you get, and you're not a lifer on that record, I'm surprised. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, yeah, it's just classic stuff.
So Rock for Light, let's Rock for Light because this is our number
one.
So gold medal.
So Rock for Light is my number one. My
Bricktown gold medal.
Bricktown gold medal. There is a bit of an asterisk.
Yes.
To this.
We're talking about PVC.
We're going to talk about the record label PVC. So PVC Records, I don't know much about. However, they were the original presser of this record.
Yeah, they released the record,
and it was re-released by Caroline years later.
Yeah, so originally Caroline, released in '83 on PVC.
Yep.
Re-released by Caroline in 1991.
Okay, so I first heard the Caroline version in probably '94 or '95,
mm-hmm.
and I loved it. But years later, when I started getting into collecting vinyl, I found a PVC press, first press vinyl version of it. And the first thing I noticed was when I turned the vinyl over is that the songs were in a completely different order. I could probably sit here, close my eyes, and almost give you the exact sequence of the Caroline version because it was the version I heard first and most.
Yes.
And I love Rock for Light so much. It's so weird to say that I could hear a different version, a different recording, a different sequence of it, and somehow love it more.
Yes.
But when I heard that PVC version of it,
yes.
And Bob's talking about the raw sound of the Roar had it rub some people the wrong way. And it's just all a matter of preference. Some people prefer slick recording. Some people prefer crummy recording. Some people prefer somewhere in the middle.
Yep. It's sensibility.
It's all sensibility. I'm a somewhere in the middle, leaning towards the raw recording side. This is a raw, more raw sounding version. It's not as slick.
Yep.
They sped the tapes up a little bit for the Caroline Records version, which I didn't really even pick up on until I heard the PVC version.
Yep.
And it just sound, for some reason, it changes it a little bit. And I haven't heard this. I actually haven't heard the PVC version. I think you could find it on YouTube.
Yeah, if you search for it on YouTube, search Bad Brains Rock for Light original mix.
Original mix.
You can hear it. So let me read you this. This is what the Wikipedia says, because I think this is good. Most people know Rick Ocasek from The Cars actually produced this record.
Just passed away like last year.
If you don't listen to The Cars, check out The Cars. Some good records. He produced it back then. Now, come 1991 with the reissue, he actually helps remix it with Daryl Jennifer.
Okay.
The reissued version, and here we go quoting it, has some extra tracks, an altered track order, significantly different mixes, and on most tracks, a speed increase of the master, which results in a raising of the pitch by 1/2 step. When you do a side-by-side, this is very noticeable. You can hear it. Now, going to the part about the track listing, just to give you an idea of how different it is, I'll read you the side A from the original vinyl versus the remastered reissued CD. Side A, original PVC mix. Coptic Times, Attitude, We Will Not, Sailing On, Rally Round Jaw Throne, Right Brigade, FVK, Riot Squad, The Meek Shall Inherit the Earth. Okay, so that's the first 9 songs. On the remaster, Big Takeover, Attitude, Right Brigade, Joshua's Song, I and I Survive, Band in DC, Super Touch, Destroy Babylon, FVK.
It's like a completely different sequence.
Totally different sequence.
And I was so used to hearing it with Big Takeover opening it. And it's funny because I know we were going to maybe mention this a little bit. But Big Takeover, I believe from some videos that I've seen of them live around that time period, was like a set opener for them.
Yes.
And it's a fantastic opener. Oh, there's that live – it was a DVD at the time of them live at CBGB's from like 82 mm-hmm. that surfaced, and they open with Big Takeover. And if you can watch the first 30 seconds of that and not feel something, then I feel bad.
The
drum bass is pumping. Ugh. People are diving before they even hit a note on the instruments. And I actually learned something. I remember the first time I watched that, how I always would listen to the song Big Takeover, and I would say, how does Dr. No make that noise on his guitar? Yeah. That sounds like nothing on a guitar I've ever heard before. And if you watch it, you can see how he does it. And I've stolen it a couple times. The only way I can describe it is he holds his pick sideways and very quickly hammers the frets from starting from like the very high frets
mm-hmm.
and slowly like hammers with his
slowly
one hand
and fast, yeah.
going all the way down. And I've totally stolen that move ever since I've seen it.
Interesting.
I've used it a few times, but, he also just looks like the coolest motherfucker on the face of the planet when you watch.
In 1982, I think he might've been.
He was.
So Rock for Light, the original version is better. And even that, yo, the reissued remastered CD is fucking great. This is, to me, one of the best punk hardcore records of all time. It's one of the ones for our New York hardcore listen. We said something could be in the highest tier, the God tier. If you could hear someone say, well, you know what? I like this record that band put out as much as Age of Quarrel or Victim in Pain. I have to hear arguments for someone to tell me they like those records more than Rock for Light. It's right there for me. It's in there. I might like Age of Quarrel more than Rock for Light, but I might not.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's in that, like, the cool thing about life is you don't always have to rank things.
Yeah.
You can just
it's
have a Mount Rushmore.
It's fun to do.
Exactly.
You know. to talk about.
Because it makes you think about questions. Okay, a question that came up. Breakdown demo or the Raw Deal demo?
Breakdown demo for me. Okay. Yeah, Raw Deal demo is great. It's so good. Did you guys talk about the Raw Deal demo?
Okay, of course. So anyways, Rock for Light's perfect. I think if you listen to Rock for Light and you don't get into American hardcore and punk, you have no heart. You have no soul. And people who hate the Bad Brains for non, like, yo, if you hate them because of the politics of them, I totally get it. Like, that is a very, very valid reason, and I accept that and I'm with it. If you don't like the Bad Brains on the sound, I want to hear that. I want to hear about that because that's kind of interesting.
Can someone make an argument that, like, there's something sonically, yeah, like, a fan of old school, like, hardcore and punk, can someone actually, like, make that argument?
So. I'll play Bad Cop. Bad Cop, Good Cop.
Okay.
I don't like HR's voice.
I love HR's voice, but I could see somebody being like, that might be the one thing that
I don't like. HR's voice. I think the music is too technical, and it's just like
too technical, but also too lo-fi and recorded.
Right. Yeah. Like,
I guess,
yeah,
I could see that.
There's people who'd say that.
I mean, to me, their own. Everybody's got a
like I was saying, like, guitar wise, some of the music on Rock for Light or the Roar Sessions, even more so. The only guitar, like, it's not the same guitar stuff Dead Kennedys are doing. But no, there's some
also
parallels.
Pretty technical.
Yeah, there's some parallels there in the guitar sound that I can't place with very many other punk and hardcore bands, especially of that time.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, Bad Brains.
Another thing I want to say about Rock for Light.
Yes.
One, that the song Joshua Song gets no love. Even by Bad Brains fans. Bad Brains fans, where do you rank the song Joshua Song? It's like a 30-second just certified ripper. It's such a good, ridiculously good song. I was listening to it recently, and I was like, why? No, I've never seen anybody cover it. Yeah. I've seen people cover probably every other song on those first couple of
bands. You know why?
I've never seen anybody cover Joshua Song.
Okay, you know why? Because is it better than Riot Brigade?
No.
Is it better than Big Takeover?
No.
Is it better than Attitude?
Yeah.
Is it better than Band and DC?
No.
Is it better than Supertouch?
I mean, Bad Brains are also a difficult band to cover, but.
Is it better than FEK?
No, I love FEK. No.
Is it better than Sailing On?
No.
Is it better than Coptic Times?
Okay. Coptic Times is great. Also, Coptic Times.
Great.
Coptic Times. Like, what? When I'm like, what could be a better opener than Big Takeover? And then you hear the other version, and you're like, hey, Coptic Times is a really good opener.
Is it better than I?
Oh, no.
So we just named six songs off this record.
I know. It's still so good. I know. The seventh song on Rock for Life better than the first song on seventh best song on Rock for Life better than the best song on a lot of other records.
We Will Not? Holy shit.
We Will Not. So good. I covered it. Hot take?
Let's get a hot take.
Can I give you a hot take?
Okay.
The Bad Brains are an early American peace punk band.
Okay.
We don't want no violence.
We don't need no wars.
We just want what's right. Some peace and love. Tell me different.
No argument. They need a better branding.
That never gets brought up. There wasn't a lot of hardcore punk bands that were like preaching
anti-violence,
peace and love, and anti-violence at the time.
I think, you know what? I think there's a huge contrast. And here's another.
I don't really put them in it's an interesting point.
It's a funny hot take.
Yeah.
It's good. All right. There might be people who take issue with Bad Brains on a lyrical level.
Sure.
Because they're like, what the fuck are they singing about? He's saying, so I choose to read the Holy Bible. You know what I mean? Like
Jah's given me.
Right. So there's a lot of the little things. I think that's a good spot to stop. So everybody, hopefully you go out and listen to the Bad Brains because of this. It's been a while and you haven't revisited, please do. If you think we were wrong, please do. I know there's people listening who are like, how can you have Eye Against Eye as third? Because there's people who are like, that's my number one.
And I'm okay with that,
me
by
too.
The way.
I know. And now if you think Quickness is your number one,
maybe not as okay.
If you think God of Love is your number one, you're coming on next week. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a good one.
Thanks.